Not all neighborhoods are the greatest. There's some pretty rough places out there. Could those places with a lot of negative and anxious energy be the source of paranormal activity? We hear a story that could point in that direction on a recent EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. It's an EPP 50.
You won't forget this one.
Sign up to listen to that episode and all of our bonus episodes at realghoststoriesonline.com. It's only $5 a month. Click Become an EPP, and you will keep our show on the air and get access to these exclusive bonus episodes just for you as a thank you for helping to support the show. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com, and thanks.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
We are getting ready for the month of Halloween here at realghoststoriesonline.com. Gathering great stories, gathering the spookiest stuff we can find to share with you with all new episodes all throughout the month of October at Real Ghost Stories Online. Today's episode is an encore presentation of several great ghost stories that we've heard in the past year or so on the program. So if you're new to the show, if you've been listening for the past couple of months, this is probably a brand new episode to you. You've been with us for more than a year or two now. And sit back, relax, and enjoy as we revisit some excellent, excellent ghost stories here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Brand new episodes all throughout the month of October. We are working hard to get all of that put together for you. So I hope you're excited about that as well. If you want some more ghost stories, of course, sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person, realghoststoriesonline.com, sitting there waiting for you. Almost 60 brand new episodes, if you've never been an EPP, all set for you with just amazing ghost stories. Those are jam-packed, exclusive video content. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and help keep this show on the air. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's encore presentation of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
I know you mentioned music and death a while back, so I decided to tell my story that involves just that. I was spending the night at a girlfriend's house, and I was maybe in seventh grade. We were in the living room watching anime when she asked me, "Do you want to go ghost hunting?" I quickly agreed. She went on to tell me that of the three ghosts or spirits that haunted her and her family, at least the ones that she knew of. We sat for a while longer until I heard a humming sound. It sounded like a woman humming a song or nursery rhyme, like a mom would do for a child. We decided to go see what it was, even though my friend kept telling me it was the spirit. We walked across the house to the L-shaped hallway that housed the bedrooms and bathrooms. As we got closer to her baby brother's room, the singing or humming got louder. I asked my friend if it was her mom, and she told me no, then pointed out that her mother's door was dark and the doors were closed. Considering we just walked all the way across the house, I knew she wasn't lying. My friend was in front of me, and she peeked around the corner, then turned back and nonchalantly told me she was in there. She backed up behind me so I could look. I peeked around inside their brother's bedroom, and hanging over the baby's crib was this shadowed but somewhat illuminated figure. It looked as if there was a hooded figure with an illuminated face. Not so bright you couldn't see the facial features, but bright enough to brighten the room it inhabited. It was leaning over the crib, holding onto the sides and humming or singing that nursery rhyme to the baby. I was shocked by what I saw and stared long enough for the spirit to notice I was there. It turned its head and looked at me, where singing or humming stopped. I immediately pushed past my friend and ran back to the living room. She was there, but a second after me. We didn't speak to one another until she decided it was time to sleep. Still scared, I managed to head down the hallway to her bedroom. When I got in bed and laid there chatting for a bit, then I heard a knocking. It was coming from her brother's bedroom closet. Again, it wasn't the parents. Someone was just continuously knocking the inside of the wall. It kept on for a while, and the next spirit's appearance just blended in with the spirit knocking. She told me to look down the hallway, and that's when I saw a black figure walking down the hall. It was a little over 5 feet and looked as if it had long hair, like a young girl. It kept walking towards the bedroom, and at first I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me since the hallway was already so dark. It kept walking down the hall and stopped right before it got inside the bedroom. It stood there for a few seconds, and then just kind of faded into the darkness. I was so focused on the dark figure, I didn't even realize when the knocking inside the walls had stopped. I stared at where the figure disappeared, and I'm not even sure when I fell asleep. I can guarantee you everything I saw, and especially heard, was real. Truly a frightening night for me. You guys are doing a great job, and I still have plenty more stories to share. Hope you enjoyed my story, and hope you read it on the show.
Okay, I don't mean any disrespect to the
families. Yeah, she does. No. That's what she always starts with, and then she says this slew of horrible, horrible, hurtful things.
Would you shut up and let me talk? The families that have little babies, and these ghosts are, like, singing to them or keeping them, you know, happy and quiet. Mm-hmm. How are they comfortable with that?
Because they bought Ghost in a Jar.
I don't think, even if it was a good ghost, and it was maybe a ghost of somebody that was a nanny during life, and that was what they did, I still don't want a ghost messing with my kid. Even sing it to it. I don't want it that.
Well, no. In this case, did the parents know?
I'm assuming the parents probably knew, because if the kid knew to go and see if it was in there.
Well, did the kid just know from exploring the house at night and seeing these things? I could see where the kids are the only ones aware of these things and telling the parents, and the parents are like, oh, that's a really cute idea. Finish your toast. You know, that sort of an approach.
I don't know.
And kids are pretty accepting of a lot of weird shit.
Yeah, they are. But I could also see the kid running off. And then, you know, if one of my kids told me a story about the baby in the house and something mm-hmm. bothering the baby.
Sure.
I'd be trying to investigate into it a little bit further.
I think I'd be putting a camera up.
Yeah.
Just to see what's going down.
Mm-hmm.
And then selling that footage to TMZ.
Real ghost stories online.
Jerry writes in, I've been listening since Halloween. Love the show. Recently you were talking about weird stories about kids' toys. Here's one experienced by my wife and me. My wife and I are software engineers. She's a skeptic, while I have an open mind due to a few other incidents over the years. This is the only incident of its type. Back in the 1994 and 1995 years, our son was a toddler. Since he was interested in Sesame Street, we bought him an Ernie's car. This was a battery-operated toy that would make noises and move. We purchased it at the Toys R Us closest to us, and I immediately opened it when I got home. I flipped the on switch and it began making noise. I gave it to our son. He played with it for a while. Then, like all kids, his attention changed. Eventually, Ernie's car was tossed in our son's toy chest. That's when things got strange. The car would turn on in the toy chest and run for 10 seconds or so and then quit. It would wake our son up when it would turn on in the middle of the night. I assume there was just a short causing the car to turn on at odd times. I took it out of the toy chest and put it on the top shelf of the closet in my home office. Instead of stopping the toy, it actually did turn on by itself more often in my closet. After a few days of that, my wife and I were laughing about it. I don't remember who suggested it, but one of us said, I wonder why we don't just take the battery out. I took the toy down, got the screwdriver, opened the battery compartment. When I found the battery compartment empty, I got a little freaked out, and so did my wife. My first thought was that there had to be one of those embedded batteries, you know, the type that has a paper tab preventing the battery from touching the contact until you pull the tab out. I couldn't find any place in the compartment or elsewhere where such a battery existed. Then I thought maybe the car was one of those friction toys, the type where you spin the wheels on the ground to store energy. When I rolled it on the floor, the wheels spun, but the toy made no noise when it was released. We had no explanation for how the thing was able to run for what might have been hours without batteries. Maybe we should have thrown it away, but I thought, since it never caused us any harm, just a little anxiety, maybe it just needed a good home, and I donated it to charity.
Yeah, I don't like toys that make noise.
Then we have that one. We have that board that has the different vehicles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've determined that when you flip a certain light switch in this house, it activates the toy.
But that toy has batteries built into it that you can't really take out.
Sure.
For a toy that has removable batteries to still be making noise.
Yeah, there's really no explanation for that one.
Nope.
When he was talking about the toy store in Toys R Us, it made me think of an Unsolved Mystery episode I don't think we've talked about on here. Do you remember the old Unsolved Mystery episode, the ghost one, where it was literally a haunted Toys R Us?
No.
Yeah. There was, I think it's on the that DVD collection I have of the ghost stories. It was, I couldn't tell you where it was, but apparently they traced it back. The Toys R Us was built on like some old farmstead, and it was apparently a love story where somehow like the woman was killed, I think, and or it was vice versa. One of the two, one of the lovers was killed and they were searching for their lover, died in vain, and you know, never found him.
Okay.
Anyway, Toys R Us gets built on this thing in like the 70s or 80s. And the Toys R Us starts having all these things happening in it. Like all the electronic toys are, you know, being triggered just like this.
Okay.
And things are moving around and whatnot. Eventually, they have a seance in the Toys R Us with some ghost hunter people and things of that nature. And in the Unsolved Mysteries episode, they claim that the entity appeared to the people and then they told it to go towards the light and move on. And then it was gone. And the Toys R Us lived happily ever after. Probably converted into a Babies R Us, just like all of them have been.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting concept for a ghost story.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, Tony, this is Jared from Jacksonville, Florida. I used to live in the Mandarin area down here, and we had moved into a house that was across from an old cemetery. Not sure how old it is and whether or not the house was built. There was another extension of it on the other side of the street where the neighborhood was built. But after a while, you know, we'd start getting woken up at night. It started off with just footsteps coming up the stairs where my loft bedroom was. And didn't really think much of it, just noises. But later on, we started, we get woken up by we had wooden chairs on the tile floor. And the tile floor, you know, when you drag those chairs across, it's very loud and, you know, very distinct noise. And we would get woken up by the chairs being pulled out from under the chair and dragging, come down, no one's there, chairs pulled out from under the table. That started to weird us out a little bit. Then later on, we had a playroom, a spare bedroom downstairs, and in the spare bedroom, you know, that's where my little brother had all his toys and little trucks and stuff. Well, he had a car that was battery powered that would flash lights and play music and everything. Well, we got woken up one night and we heard the music playing. Open the door, car's rolling around, playing music, flashing lights. We turned the light on, it stopped, we picked it up. Open the battery cartridge, and there was no batteries in there. So that really creeped us out. And, you know, that was the first time we actually saw something moving around with it. And then later on, you know, the footsteps on the stairs was a continuous thing. And then one night I was at work, and I get a phone call from my mom. She asked me if I had gotten home early and if I came in and I was upstairs, maybe talking on the phone or playing video games, and I was still at work. And she had heard the footsteps go up the stairs, and a few minutes later she heard conversations and like the TV was on and everything, and she had gone upstairs. nothing. No one in there, no lights, anything. And then, you know, after that, it was just continuous footsteps up and down. I would be in bed at night. I would hear the steps coming up and down the stairs, you know. I just decided, you know, nothing's happening to me. We're not really, you know, scared. We were just kind of dealing with it, you know. I was like a little extra roommate. But, you know, a couple other things, you know, the chairs were dragging again, and we would see doors open and close sometimes. That was another thing, you know. It would slowly open. It would sit open for a minute, come back closed. It would open again and then close. And then after that, it slowly stopped. We never, you know, tried to communicate with it or anything. We were just kind of weren't sure how to handle it or what to do about it. But, you know, that's all that happened. We moved out of the house later on. Nothing followed us. We don't know, you know, if it still happens to the new tenants. But that is my ghost story. I've been listening to the show for about a week now, and I absolutely love it. I'm trying to catch up to the more recent episodes, but keep doing what you're doing. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in and sharing your story.
I hate the toys that turn on their own.
I was going to say, what would you do in the event that one of the girls' battery-operated toys started operating on its own without the batteries? Do you keep the toy?
Because
it's really not. The toy's being more so used as the vehicle.
I know, but I think I'd probably remove the toy temporarily if it was the one that was being easily manipulated by the mm-hmm. spirit. And then if it moved on to a different toy, well, then I've got to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was continually just one toy that the spirit liked, it's going in a Rubbermaid in the garage for a while. It can play with it out there.
The Rubbermaid with the holy water in the inside.
And yeah.
The crosses on the side of the box. It is interesting how, number one, there's really no way that toys should be actively running without batteries in them for any extended period of time. It's one thing to burn off that little bit of energy that may still be held in it, which happens. It's another for it to continually run without the battery in it. But it is interesting just having so many toys around our house right now, how they can be manipulated by electromagnetic fields.
Yes.
That you may think is paranormal until you realize, no, it's because I flipped that light on and off. That for whatever reason reacts with said toy. And we have one.
Yeah.
We have this board, and it's a little you know, 2-year-old puzzle piece where you stick the boat in there, the airplane, the fire truck, and when you do it, it makes the noise of said vehicle. However, it also activates itself when you flip a certain light switch on in our house when it's near it.
Yeah,
by
it does.
Itself, and it's not near the light switch. I mean, it's clear across a stairwell, but for whatever reason, the energy that's produced when you flip that switch, without fail, will set that toy off. And it is activated on magnets. That's how the thing works. But it's just, it's interesting, because if you didn't know that, you'd be like, why are these toys going off by themselves?
The puzzle now lives downstairs in the dresser.
Did you put it there because it was creeping you out?
No comment.
It's not, it's just the...
It just freaks me out. I know good and well that it's the electricity doing mm-hmm. that, but it still freaks me out.
And it only does it when you do that.
Yeah.
It's not just kind of going off by itself.
No.
It'd be one thing if Tickle Me Elmo started talking, although it has.
Yeah, it has with you walking through the room and not turning anything on.
And that's not a motion activated...
Nope.
...toy. That's a sensory pressure.
You've got to pick it up or touch it.
Hmm.
You notice Elmo hasn't been talking in a while?
Did you take the batteries out of Elmo?
Elmo's dead.
Did you really take the batteries out of Elmo?
No comment.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802. That's our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's when you can call it in, just like these folks did. Hi.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jeannie. My name's Kenny. This is the first time I've called. I've been listening to you all now for a couple of weeks. I love the show. I love the stories. It makes me feel like that I'm not alone. And I'm sorry if you don't understand me. I've got a weird accent. But anyway, I've always dealt with the paranormal from my first memories was of the paranormal. I don't usually go more than probably at the longest a week or two without having an experience, though I've never ever sought it out. But the story I'm about to tell you is about my grandmother and grandfather's house. They bought a new home and moved into it. Nobody else had lived there. But as soon as we started staying there, things started happening. We would be able to see the shadow people would walk up and down the halls, jump from bedroom door to the bathroom door to the bedroom door. We all had the experiences knocking. But one day, one of the stories I wanted to tell you, one day my grandpa had to take his truck into the garage to be worked on. So my grandmother followed him in her car. And she told me to help, you know, to take a shower and be ready when she got back to go to church. So I went in to take a bath, threw my clothes out into the hall for her to put in the dirty laundry. And as I got in the shower, the door on the bathroom started shaking. Not just a little shake, but like shaking off the hinges. And then started banging. I thought somebody had broke in and was going to kill me. I was in tears. You know, I was young, probably 12-year-old. And I didn't have my clothes in there with me. I wrapped a towel around me and started to climb out the window when my grandmother came and my grandfather came back. I told them about it. They didn't want to much talk about it. I was raised in a very religious family. And, you know, things about, you know, ghosts and stuff. Well, they didn't believe in that. We believed in demons and angels. And I've had experience with that stuff before. But I'm going to fast forward a little bit. A few years later, I was 18 when my grandfather passed away. So I had to move in permanently with my grandmother. It ramped up big time. I mean, after his death, it was just constantly, all the time, banging on the walls. I'm not meaning tapping or a little scratching. I mean like somebody were taking their fist and banging it. You could be standing, and it would be just like somebody would be behind you, stomping their foot on the floor behind you. I didn't know this, but my grandma had thought that my grandpa had came back as a spirit and was talking to him, said that she'd seen him and that he would talk to her and she would talk to him. But I didn't know this at the time, but I had a dream that my grandpa was there. And he appeared and was talking, and my grandma was talking to him, and he looked like my grandpa, but I knew that something wasn't right. That's, you know, this was not my grandpa. Well, in my dream, I looked at him, and I said, "You are not my grandpa." And when I said that, it changed to this beast with, like, a goat's head and horns and everything. And when I had the nightmare, I confronted my grandma and told her what the dream I had. And she confessed that she had been talking to someone, thinking it was my grandpa. And I told her, I said, "This is not my grandpa." It got really bad. I started getting really depressed. It was just like constant weight on you. So I told my grandma that I would not stay there. So we packed up and moved. But I still have all along paranormal things happening to me. And like I said, I don't seek it out. I never done any Ouija boards. If something strange happens in the house, my friends has tried to get me to talk to call it out, and I won't do it. Because I, you know, would be, I don't want to have anything to do with this. But I'm shaking right now. I usually don't tell people my stories, but my mother passed away in July. I took care of her, and since she passed away, there's been some things happening here, and I know it's not my mother. She had peace, you know, with her and God and in her soul, and things have been thrown. There's knocking and banging, and I woke up with somebody hauling off and hitting me in the face. Like my eyes was watering. I'm sorry if I sound shaky or nervous, because I am. But I've got some more stories. I worked at a haunted jail, detention center here in my county. I may try to call back and tell you that story and some other things that happened to me. Maybe I won't be so nervous next time. But I really like your all show. It's helped me a lot to not feel so alone. Thank you, and keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Well, there's an example of Grandpa not being Grandpa.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you do have to be somewhat cautioning of what it is you think that you may or may not be talking to. I mean, Grandma seemed to think it was Grandpa until he called that out.
Yeah, and, you know, I wonder if it followed Kenny, or if it just is Kenny's just one of those people where things just make themselves known to him.
Yeah, or if he's more sensitive to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. Thank you for the call, Kenny, and the story.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hello, this is Luke from Minnesota. I've called in a couple other times and shared experiences, but I've had just a couple of other possible brushes with the paranormal, and I thought I'd go ahead and share one of those today. This was back in 2005. I was hanging out with a group of friends one night, and somehow the topic had turned to the paranormal. And one of my buddies, I'll call him Steve, mentioned that he had a bayonet that he had bought, I think, at like a flea market or consignment store or something. And he said that he thought it was somehow cursed or haunted. And I asked him what he meant by that. And he said, I don't know, I just get a bad vibe off the thing. So anyways, a few nights later, we were going to go and hang out at my place. And we were in Steve's car, and he said he had to stop by his house and just pick up a few things. So stop by his house, me, another buddy of ours, and Steve. Steve ran inside while we waited in the car, and he came back outside. When he came back out, he was carrying that bayonet with him. And he handed it to me. He said, hey, there's the bayonet I was telling you about. So he handed it to me. It was in a sheath, and on the by the hilt there was a kind of a leather strap, and so he handed it to me through the car window. I brought it into the window, and as I did, it swung down and nailed me right between the legs. And of course, you know, Steve, my other buddy, got a good laugh out of that, and I was like, yeah, you're not kidding, this thing is cursed, you know. I mean, there actually was enough weight behind it that it kind of hurt, but I blame that on clumsiness and gravity. So, anyway, when we got back to my place, we were going to go in and I think play video games or something. And, you know, I got another, Steve, for some reason insisted on bringing the bayonet in with him. And you know, I kind of took another look at it, and it was, you could tell it was older. I got a little bit of a funny feeling off of it, but I just attributed that to the power of suggestion. Otherwise, I actually thought it was kind of cool. It was older, some a collector might like. I just looked online, and I think it might have been, from memory, I think it might have been a Korean War era M5 bayonet. I'm not sure about that, but it was definitely older. Anyway, when it was breaking up and Steve went to leave, he walked downstairs, and I lived in an upstairs apartment. He walked downstairs, and I kind of called, "Hey, don't forget your bayonet." Steve was like, "Well, I'm already down the steps, so I'll get it another time." And I'm like, "Well, really, do you want me to run down?" He's like, "No, just I'll get it another time." You know, I kind of knew what he was doing, and I was like, thinking, "You wimp. You're going to make me hold on to it because you're afraid of this thing." So, but he left, and I put it on a shelf and didn't really think much else of it. To be honest, I didn't think there was really anything to it. I thought he was just being maybe a little overzealous of wanting to think there was something paranormal or whatever. So he left, and anyway, he would come by every so often. You know, we hung out fairly often, and every time I would try and get him to take this bayonet back, and he always kind of refused. He always had some excuse not to. So anyway, a few months later, I was renting an apartment for the apartment I lived in. I was renting from my sister, who was the upstairs of her house. And she put her house on the market, so I had to move. So I found another place and was going to move, boxed up all my stuff. And I recruited another buddy of mine, I'll call him Mike, recruited him to come and help me move, and offered him a case of beer. So he agreed to come help me move. And when he came and we were getting the stuff, he asked me, "So are you gonna miss this place?" And I said, "Well," I said, "to be honest with you, I've always been a little creeped out by the bedroom here." I said, "So for that reason, I'm kind of glad to be moving. I just never was comfortable in my bedroom for some reason. I had a hard time getting a good night's sleep. I just felt like someone was watching me." So anyway, we were up there, we were working, and we were moving stuff out, and he passed by a box, and this was the box that the bayonet was in. And I boxed that up, too, because I'd become kind of the adoptive owner of it, unwittingly. And he stopped, and he's like, "Hey," he's like, "I think I know why you were creeped out in this place." I'm like, "Why is that?" He's like, "I think it was that thing." And he pointed to the bayonet that was in the box, and he kind of kicked the box away like he seriously didn't like the thing. And I asked him, like, "Well, what do you mean?" And he said, "I don't know. That thing is creeping me out, that knife that's in there. He's like, I don't like that thing." And now, one thing to realize is Mike and Steve did not know each other. Mike was a friend of mine from work. He and Steve, they never met, they never talked, so this was not the power suggestion or anything. He just got a bad vibe off that bayonet, to the point where it was like, I kind of was teasing him with it, like, "Oh, really? You like?" He wouldn't touch it. I tried to get him to take it in his car because, you know, I had a truck, and we were loading up all the heavy things into my truck, but throwing some boxes into his car, and he was like, no, he wouldn't. He did not want it in his car. He wouldn't drive with it. I tried to put it in his car, and he got like mad at me. He didn't appreciate my joking around with it even. So I moved and brought the bayonet with me, but the next time I saw Steve, I forced him to take it back. And I was like, I wasn't taking any chances because Mike, who wouldn't know or anything like that, getting a bad vibe off of that thing was a little too much for me. A little too much coincidence. So that's the story. A postscript to that, I was just at a Halloween party at Steve and his now wife's house, and I asked him if he still has that bayonet, and he does. He says it's in his garage, and it's underneath a few boxes and buried in some stuff, so I don't know if he thinks that'll kind of keep the bad energy out or whatever, but that's the story, and really enjoy the show. Thank you.
It'd be difficult if he had something that was of value or some sort of historical significance to get rid of.
Not for me.
Really?
No, if it had value and historical significance, it'd be easy to rehome it.
Well,
it's one of those things where, like, if it's, like, been in your family a long time and you want to, you know, if there's not, like, really, truly a huge paranormal thing surrounding you, just a lot of bad vibes. And, you know, kind of like this story where it's not like there's apparitions that are showing up around the bayonet and, you know, but everyone who gets in touch, comes in contact with it, it's like, something's odd about this thing.
See, that's the thing about my house. My house is a place where I can choose what's in it and what's not. And I don't want to have stuff that kind of creeps me out around in my house.
Well, I wouldn't like bring it in, you know, if it's something that you don't already have. I'm saying it's like one of those things like you may not even realize you have. You're going through boxes or something and it's like, oh, and then you were, oh, this was like great grandpa's or something. And it's been passed from generation to generation to generation and it creeps the hell out of you, you know. All those generations of passing, it's something that is of significance. That would be difficult to get rid of.
Yeah, it would be because it's a family heirloom.
Yeah, I'm not saying like you picked up at a flea market and it's like, oh, it's kind of creepy. No, that I get rid of, not even thinking.
Yeah, I don't know. I still, you know, I'd be like, okay, how many generations is this going to stay in the family? And what, you know, what good is a bayonet?
Zombies.
Yes.
When zombies come, it is helpful.
It is helpful with zombies. You're right. Now, I still don't think I'd want it.
Real ghost stories online.
My story begins in 2007 when I became a first-time kindergarten teacher. There was a small girl in my class. Every morning at 9, all of my students would go to the gym for physical education. So I used this time to correct workbooks. Not much later, from the corner of my eye, I saw this little girl come back into the classroom without looking at her. I asked if she forgot something. When she didn't answer, I looked at her, only to find no one was standing in the room. Later that day, my then 3-year-old son was dropped off at the school just before home time. After all of the students had left, my son was playing with Legos, and he suddenly looked across the room towards a chalkboard. Got up, grabbed a ball, threw it towards the chalkboard, and said, "Catch!" There was no one else standing in the room that I could see. That evening, in the long drive home, I asked my mother-in-law, who had worked for the school for 13 years, if any of the students had reported seeing spirits in the school. She said, yes, and that they had reported seeing a little girl. My blood ran cold. I worked in the same classroom for 7 more years, but haven't seen her again.
At what point, even if it's been 7 years and you haven't seen her again, do you finally feel comfortable that you won't see her again?
Never.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever feel comfortable either.
At some point, you just kind of know. Schools in general, even like modern schools, I find a little eerie walking through the halls when there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to, you know, like a, anything, like an after school activity or something, or, you know, everybody's like in the gym or something. And if you're just going to, like, especially like when me and Harpo walk around or something at one of Libby's events and the school's pretty much empty except for where they're at in the auditorium, that's eerie to me.
It is. Is it just the lack of people in a place that should be full of people?
Yeah, it's like an abandoned mall.
Uh-huh.
It has that same weird feel to it where you're so used to seeing it active and full of, you know, energy, and then to not have it. And I think it's just more of a perspective thing because you're so used to it in one perspective and it happened in a different perspective is kind of alarming. I think that's really all it is. But it adds to it when it's a really old school.
Yeah, I could see an old school giving me the creeps anyway, but I don't have that problem. I'm totally fine to be in a place that should normally be full of people that's not.
I'm fine being there. I'm just making an observation. I enjoy going to these places that are odd. I love going to abandoned malls for whatever reason. I really think that's neat. The same with schools. I mean, abandoned. I did that video at that one abandoned school. A year or so back, and that was creepy, but I loved it. It was just, it was odd, you know, especially when you come into classrooms and it's, you know, all kind of abandoned and ripped up, and then you find things that were reminiscent of things you had as a kid or were in your classroom. Like there was a balance beam in one of them that was carpeted, and I remember those. It was like, you know, somebody took a 2x4 and, you know, carpeted it, and then they kind of propped it up, and then they made a balance beam for the kids to use. And it was that color of carpeting of, you know, kind of puke green and orange.
I remember that color.
And it was like, wow, I remember like that being an activity in first grade or preschool or kindergarten or something. And there it is, just sitting in this abandoned school. You just think of all the, you know, the memories that people do have of this object. And now it's just going to be destroyed and torn down.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
It is kind of sad.
But interesting nonetheless. Brendan writes in, "Hey guys, I've been investigating the paranormal for over 5 years and have been to some really interesting places in the time span. I have a very open mind towards the paranormal, but am the type of person that needs to see or experience something to believe it. It drives me nuts that people try to pass great stories as fact. I'll be first to admit that I truly like hearing ghost stories, even when they are made up, but would rather know that it is nothing more than a work of fiction from the beginning than to be told that it actually happened to someone. The encounter I have for you happened during an investigation in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. I specifically took a trip there with the group I investigate with to hit some of the better-known locations, but happened to stumble upon a museum that had just opened up called the International Museum of Spiritual Investigation. The museum was very small, and it was a house that was standing during the Battle of Gettysburg, but honestly, the house itself was the best part of the museum. I was able to speak with the owner of the building and get the rundown of the history of the location. During the war, the Confederates took the town of Gettysburg and in turn took the house. The family that occupied the house at the time was a doctor, his wife, and their daughter. During the battle, they were unable to flee the location and were forced to spend 3 days in their basement while the battle took place out on the streets in the surrounding fields. They'd sneak up in the middle of the night to get food and did their best to stay hidden. The doctor later died in the house well after the war was over. He was the first death in the house. Other deaths include a gentleman with a Civil War reenactor, who was a Civil War reenactor, who owned the home in the late 90s. A child was also killed in a carriage accident right outside the house, and a young girl who lived in the home in the 1900s. The young girl died of some type of disease, but I cannot remember what disease she had. The owner had said that there was a lot of activity in the house and asked if my group and I would like to investigate it. We jumped at the opportunity and came back later that night after the museum closed. When we first walked in that night, I noticed that the air was very heavy and by no means sensitive or anything like that, and the feeling was actually noticed by everyone in the group. I also noticed that the chain or pendulum grandfather clock was swinging, but honestly thought nothing of it and chalked it up to a draft. This, of course, was not the case, but at the time it seemed like a logical explanation. It wasn't until the night unfolded, and we actually tested the theory of airflow moving it, that we found that the chain was very heavy and took a good amount of force to move it. Ignorance is bliss, though. And at first, we ignored it, set up our equipment for the investigation. After we set up, we split up in twos and separated. We started to hear noises and movement right off the bat, but being in an old home that we were unfamiliar with, it was hard to deem any of those sounds paranormal, even if, in fact, it were. Old homes settle, and we obviously weren't able to tell a normal noise from one that wasn't. Four of us decided to go into the basement, as we were told that there had been some activity down there. We started with an EVP session and also set up a K2 meter to try and get some interaction with whoever it was that may be willing to communicate. We were sitting in the folding chairs that were set up down there when my brother asked the potential spirits down there to make a sound to let us know that they were with us. There was a big pile of old wood and metal in a large pile behind where we were sitting, and right after the question was asked, we heard the pile shift and a piece of metal hit the ground. It was pitch black down there, so all we had was light from the flashlights that we had brought. My brother got out of his chair and walked towards the pile and asked for another noise, hoping this time to actually see something move. As soon as he asked the question, we heard something hit the chair he had been sitting in. It was as if someone would have flicked the chair with his finger. The noise was a loud ping. This was really creepy, but at the same time, a little humorous, because whatever it was down there was clearly screwing with him. About 10 minutes after that happened, the vibe changed and we all started feeling a little sick. We thought it was best if we left the basement and went upstairs. As soon as we did, we felt fine. It was the first time that I'd experienced a physical change like that. I wanted to make sure it wasn't anything natural, so once I felt okay, I quickly went down and made sure it wasn't a fear cage. For the listeners who don't know what that is, a fear cage is a place with extremely high EMF leaks that can cause you to see or hear things and make you feel sick. It can be caused by old or bad wiring and numerous other things. There was nothing down there, though. The feeling couldn't be explained away. We'd gone around the house and done some EVP sessions, and were actually taking a small break. And we all of a sudden heard what sounded like little footsteps run down the hall. What's cool about this is that it was picked up on a recorder I had left on. At the end of the footsteps, there's a static noise, a little voice that said, "Hello." We didn't know this until the next day when I was reviewing the audio, but it absolutely froze me. It was the best EVP I'd ever picked up, but also had tone to it. You could tell it was a curious little kid just saying hi. This EVP is what really finally proved to me that there is something else out there after we leave this life. It honestly blew me away. I wanted to share the EVP with you, but the recorder it is on does not have a USB port. If anybody has a way that I can somehow transfer it to something that can be plugged into a computer without losing too much quality, please call or write in so I can try and share it with you. The last event I want to cover from the house is the bathroom. Originally, the bathroom was a bedroom. It was where the young girl who lived there had died. I was in the bathroom doing an EVP session with my cousin and felt a light touch on my arm. I immediately asked for whoever was there, assuming it was a girl, to do it again. This time, I felt the same soft touch, but it then seemed to pierce my arm. I felt a chill that was unlike anything I'd ever experienced before. It was just different. It wasn't just on the surface of my arm, but literally inside it. I had heard of people explaining that type of sensation before, but always thought that they were crazy. And it was just a chill that they were over-exaggerating. That's not the case, though. I was a little scared at this point because I had never had this type of interaction before. That entire night brought on evidence that I really wasn't prepared for. I'd always had an open mind, like I said, but believing in it and being part of it are two extremely different things. The museum is now closed, and the house is a private residence, which is a bummer because I had made it a stop on every trip I took to Gettysburg. Hope you all enjoy my experience, and I'm looking forward to any feedback that might come in. Thank you guys for the show. It's great.
I was so bummed to hear that that's not open anymore, because I was hoping we could go there someday.
That'd be a fun little stop for the kids.
That might be a kidless trip. Or it might be once they're old enough that they've studied Gettysburg.
Sure, where they can kind of understand a little bit more about what's going on there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or understand what we do, so when Mom starts weirding out because of the battlefield ghost, then they get it.
Well, they get it when we go to Walmart.
I don't get weirded out at Walmart.
It'd be really interesting. And he kind of brought up something that I don't want to say I want to experience for myself, but it does make you wonder. Or that feeling that he talked about, where mm-hmm. like the piercing feeling, where it's like you can only assume it's like a chill or something until you actually feel it. And I'm not inviting this in and saying, "Hey, I want to feel this." I'm just saying it's intriguing.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Without being like an ass about it, like, I really want that to happen to me, because I don't.
No. It's one of those things that you can only understand if you do experience
sure.
it.
Sure.
There you go. That does it for today's encore presentation of Real Ghost Stories Online, getting ready for the month of October with all new episodes for you all throughout the month. Sign up to be an EPP. Get brand new exclusive content right now on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Almost 60 bonus episodes and they're waiting for you. So check that out, exclusive video content as well. It's only $5 a month and it keeps the show on the air. Sign up, realghoststoriesonline.com.